-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans, and welcome to March. This is -3, presented as always by Omaha. We're ready to chop it all up for you, and there is a lot of it to be chopped. We're going to do it with Eddie Spaghetti seated there behind the glass and sitting high atop show business, probably with some tiramisu or three or four different variations on tiramisu. In my opinion, none of them will be very good. Either way, we're talking about Kevin Hench. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, my God. I got home late from work last night, and Sophie yelled at Heather, "Did you tell Dad about the tiramisu?" I swear to God. And she's like, "No, I didn't." And I'm like, "Doesn't matter. I'm so tired. I'm going to bed." But they thought of me. They said, "We know what Dad loves, the greatest dessert ever invented. Probably the single thing, the single biggest daylight between you and me is tiramisu. And then maybe Roethlisberger."
Okay. Listen. That's a good list. I like that one. One thing we probably park our cars in the same garage on. You were a BC kid, Boston College kid, Michael Adams and all that growing up watching. What's the guy's name who calls the, I don't know if he still calls the Celtics games, but he used to be the voice of the Big East. Anyway.
Mike Gorman.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, you were watching that. I was watching Pitt. I think we both probably came by our hatred of Jim Boeheim in an organic
it's
way.
Funny if you like, you know, because I'm so tired and unprepared that if you ambush me with like Pearl Washington era Big East questions, like I could just start naming Raphael Addison, Leo Routh. If you ask me about something that happened in college basketball in the last week, I'd be like, "I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to solve the zone."
Oh, that would be a good Mr. Lister category. Name Big East players that left college basketball prior to, say, I don't know, 92. That would be a Titanic.
I mean, head-to-head. It's so crazy when you think about, you know, St. John's with Chris Mullin, Walter Berry, Mark Jackson, obviously the Villanova team with Harold Jensen, Ed Pinckney, the D train, Dwayne McLean, the point guard, Gary McLean, Harold Presley played in the NBA. And then you think about how great those teams were. And it's like, oh yeah, those teams weren't the beast of the conference. Patrick Ewing's Hoyas, with Michael Graham and Reggie Williams, all those players. Yeah, it was such, I don't think anybody can really understand what it was like to have huge conference, you know, games, regular season games you look forward to Monday night. And then those players stayed, those teams stayed, like you really could develop an identity and love them. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, how, all those teams would beat the one and done teams of today.
Well, we had a great conversation with relative youngster, but steeped in some history, Tate Frazier. Go back and listen to that episode. Really good stuff on college basketball, getting you right for March Madness. And then we talked to Bald Brian about the upcoming Oscars. So good stuff there. In the meantime, let me see if I can drive a further wedge between you and me here, Hench. We have so much to talk about. Lamar Jackson, Danny Dimes aside, Derek Carr is moving to NOLA, college basketball, as we say, a dynamite Thursday night upcoming in Puck, some really important games there in terms of the regular season standings. But let me start with something that's come up on Extra Points. Cousin Sal brought this to me, and everybody, I said, "Well, Sal, this is embarrassing for Sal." And then everybody agreed with him. And it's now treating me like I'm loco. I bet you don't try and figure out where Dave's going to come down versus where Sal comes down. Answer this as your own man. Kevin Hench, would the 2022 Chicago Bears or 2022 Houston Texans have made the playoffs if Patrick Mahomes had been either team's quarterback?
Oh, I think I caught a little bit of this hot debate on Twitter. Well, you know, you're saying that the rosters are uniform. They don't, you know, obviously if you have Mahomes, you try, right? You try to put people around Mahomes.
I'm talking about you would just plug him in there instead of Justin Fields, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. I think I know your position on this, but I'm going to say 8-9 and miss the playoffs.
Okay. That's reasonable. Everybody, Eddie Spaghetti, who can speak for himself and defend it if he wants to, it's not diminishing Patrick Mahomes or anyone else to say that you wouldn't make a 3-win Chicago Bears team who the only good player they had or one of the few was Justin Fields. You think Patrick Mahomes is worth 7 more wins? That just the math doesn't work out there. But everybody at the Extra Points Network, apparently, save me and I guess tepidly you. I did take a blue ribbon straw poll of this via voice text message as I drove from the Extra Point studio back home here. Oh, by the way, I meant to say no spoiler alerts, please. I'm talking about sports, which means I can't watch sports. Specifically Pitt versus Duke. Don't tell me anything. Either one of you or you're skunks for life. I don't want to hear about it. I'm going to go watch it on DVR as soon as we're wrapped here. But everybody.
Hey, by the way, if it's not Clyde Vaughn versus Tommy Amaker, I can't tell you anything about it.
Clyde Vaughn. Look at the pull from Hench. I'd expect it from somebody from Pittsburgh, but not a Boston kid. Good for you. Anyway, so I drop us a line. I'm interested in what the audience thinks about this.
Can I say how it started, though? Because how it originally started was the McDavid question. And I said, McDavid is the best athlete in sports, bar none. Sal fights for Ohtani. I said Ohtani has to be the best at either hitting or pitching. He is not. So that is the reason why he's not the best. I said Mahomes is my number two for best athlete across the board in major sports because the Chiefs roster is flawed. And Patrick Mahomes undoubtedly brought them there on his back. 2 Super Bowl, obviously the every division title since he's been there, the 5 straight AFC title games, all that jazz. So I said Mahomes is clearing far and away the number 2 for me behind McDavid. And then that somehow spawned this Mahomes, how many wins is he worth in the NFL? And you made the comment, Dave, that you don't think he's that much better than like a Burrow or next other. And I think you're most definitely wrong.
Well, that's the debate, though, that we've been having on group text message for the last week or 2 weeks now is the drop off from number one in a sport to the second best player in the sport. McDavid, I think, Hench now agrees with Sal that it's Ohtani, I think, right? Unless I'm misrepresenting.
Of course,
McDavid's way better than the second best player.
It's already apples to oranges when you're cross pollinating across sports. But then you add in this crazy hybrid skill that Ohtani has that nobody's had in 100 years. It's very hard to measure. I do want to say, even though I gave my answer as 8 and 9 here, that if Eric Stone Street, the world's biggest Kansas City Chiefs fan, asks me on set in 17 minutes. I am on a pit. I'm on a minutes limit today.
Okay.
But I will say, the Bears would have gone 15-2 with that guy. Are you kidding? Of course, I get it. If you haven't seen Eric Stone Street as Andy Reid's brother, Randy Reid, go chase down that clip. It's so awesome. He's a delight. He's incredible. The second season of the Santa Claus, which is already a runaway hit, is going to be even better. So having fun at work. Tim Allen and Gabriel Iglesias doing their first scene together today. All my worlds colliding. But hey, real quick, because I know you were like, this might drive a wedge between us with your question, where we ended up seeing it kind of the same, I think, you know, right, Mahomes?
Yes. And by the way, the blue ribbon panel, I don't want to give their names out publicly. Maybe they don't want me to be floating their names as associated with me having their phone numbers. That could be embarrassing for people, guilt by association. But everybody agreed with me. I'm waiting for one name. I'll tell you, Jeff Schwartz, because he's one of our favorite regulars here. I haven't heard back. I sent it with Sal attached. For all we know, Sal the stinker is working Schwartz on the side to send something back and say, just make Sheck look bad here with your response.
So I think the biggest wedge that could be driven between us distance wise would be if we both hit wedges from 118, your ball would be on the green and mine would be in the woods. That would be the biggest distance wise. I mean, my short game, the closer I get to the green, I've striped so many drives on the first tee out there in Ian Woosnam distance, and then had the guys I'm playing with go, oh man, We're up against it. And then I go, oh, don't worry about it. This is going to be a snowman. Like,
wait, who are you golfing with? When do you golf? I didn't know you golf.
This is when Jerome Lane was playing for Pitt. This is historic, but I know you're a good golfer.
I haven't played in a decade myself. Let's get out there though. Let's fix that. I really do want to, we're old men. This is what you're supposed to do now. Play golf.
We should play. I got to dial back to work a little bit. You're absolutely right.
As soon as you have a free day and you're interested in 3 hours, we'll just do the par three. That's all. We don't need to do 70.
Let's wipe out my one good golf ability, and then we'll just do the part I suck at.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
Spoiler alert, you're not going to win every bet you place. But with Caesars Sportsbook, win or lose, every bet gives you reward credits and tier credits, which you can exchange for the best perks in the game. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app and start earning with Caesars Rewards.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
All right, let's get into it. And since you're constrained by time and a real job here, start us off, Hench. Let's get into our goat and goats of the week. So many to choose.
Okay,
from.
So this is going to all tie together just seamlessly. I thought about it on the drive to work. My goat is Calvin Ridley. That piece in The Athletic, Robin Williams once said, like, hey, man, be decent to people because you don't know what they're going through. And if you haven't read it, track it down on The Athletic. Calvin Ridley, basically, just walking those of us who don't know to the point where he put the Falcons on a 5-team parlay, literally like almost absentmindedly, obviously not thinking about what that meant for his football career, but just talking about his childhood. I mean, it was so emotional and what he was playing through with his broken foot, that he's trying to play on a broken foot in Atlanta and push, getting shot up, taking pills, just, all the standard NFL stuff. Like, obviously we don't care about you, the human being, we care about you, the wide receiver, and his childhood trauma and then his professional trauma with the injury and playing through it, a crisis in his personal life that none of us should have to go through. And I was like, oh my God, the Jaguars are going to, this is going to be, if he's right physically and mentally, and the Jaguars just added Calvin Ridley to go with Trevor Lawrence, I was like, this is going to be incredible and an amazing redemption story. And obviously for guys like us who bet on sports and tell other people to bet on sports, you know, yes, fixing sport, you know, having a game fixed would ruin everything. But it's like we are a little ridiculous with the piety with, you know, like, hey, that guy talks about his fantasy football team. Do you think there's a prize for winning that league or just high fives, right? It's like, yes, everyone's betting on football. But anyway, read the Calvin Ridley thing. It was so, that story was so well told, so emotional. You know, I was on set yesterday and I was just like, I had a bunch of football fans and I was like, track down this story. It'll give you such a deeper understanding of the transgression and what the guy was going through. And so like, I'm getting that guy in fantasy. I'm going to bet on the Jaguars. I'm so excited about him. And then the flip side of that is the bad goat, which, you know, you've done this before.
By the way, I'm looking it up right as we speak here. Just a very quick answer. I mean, listen, it's early March, but it's still fun. You know, Derek Carr going to the Saints caused me to dig up the division odds for everybody. It occurs to me, who would you rather bet on to continue with around Patrick Mahomes? Would you bet on the Chiefs blindly right now to win the AFC West, or Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley and the rest of the Jags to win the AFC South? It feels like the Jags are the safer play right now, right? -150 is where you get that.
I mean, it's, you know, you should read about Calvin Ridley's childhood trauma, and then I will tell you about my trauma last year. How many bets I made against the Chiefs. I mean, I was so certain with that schedule and everyone in the division getting better. All the pieces were in place for a regression. I bet it a million different ways. I bet, you know, them to miss the playoffs, them under 11 wins or whatever it was, you know, then I still was like betting against them in the playoffs. Like, it was like, I lost more money on the Chiefs last year than on every other bet I made all year combined. Like,
they never covered at home though. So if you faded them,
this was the crazy thing. Like, that's right. Right. So when I go, okay, you guys, you've proven your point. I'm an idiot. Now I'm going to bet on you and still lose because you never covered. I could not get the Chiefs right all year. And I think they literally cost me not just, money, but like picks leagues, because I was, you know, I went 2-15 on them. Like, I could never get them right anyway. But I do.
You can never go. It's not, they always say, like, if you get on the merry-go-round, it says like, don't stand up. It's not safe. Betting while the QB carousel is spinning is dangerous stuff. But if you think Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets, spoiler alerts, he's going to go to the Jets. If you like them, the best play out there right now, the Miami Dolphins at +480. People stick with the Bills. People get overexcited about Rodgers with the Jets. It's going to be two in the Dolphins. You wait and see. Hear me now, believe me later. +480, the Dolphins are the best play right now in the AFC. I'm sorry.
I like that number. And then we'll get back to my bad goat. Obviously the Bengals kicking of the Bills, I think we were all seeing a weird regression with the Bills, where it's like something got figured out and they weren't that scary. And I just don't really get it. Like, I'm like, you know, there are these windows of opportunity, and unless you have Patrick Mahomes, they close. You know, like, I guess Patrick Mahomes' window is going to be yawning wide open for his entire career. And I don't know. I just watched the Bills, watched Josh Allen forcing the ball in the red zone, and I was like, I don't know. I think that those other bets are much more attractive. Okay, my bad goat, to round off the Calvin Ridley thing, and I don't think I said anything bad about Calvin Ridley because I never thought he was fixing football games. So it's like, okay, tell me Pete Rose put in a guy he knew was hurt because he bet against the Reds, and I'll be as furious as anybody else. Tell me Pete Rose bet on his team. I can't muster that much anger. But it really did occur to me that, like, you know, we work in the braying donkey sports media, sort of. And, you know, a big part of what we do is like, that guy sucks and that guy's lame and that guy's soft, you know, all the, you know, and we don't know anything, but it's more fun. I mean, as a comedy writer, like you always just think of the absolute meanest thing to say first. So like, if I say, you know, spaghetti, you looking good, man. Are you trimming down? Zero laughs. If I say like, spaghetti, what's your all time high and how close are you? Are you at it or is this it? See,
see it made me laugh.
You see right away. So I obviously, when, you know, the Steelers had a 400-pound quarterback for 20 years. So I got a lot of, you know, mean material, but to the Robin Williams of it all, like, you don't know what people are going through. And I've been burned by this, like, where a guy actually like has an illness that I'm making fun of for missing games. Like, so anyway, I'm the bad goat for always going for the jugular vein. I mean, not that you can even find it on spaghetti at his current weight, the juggler. But anyway,
which gym is it hidden in? Who knows?
As an example. Anyway, so like, just to, as a reminder, like, you do not know what people are going through. Now, making millions of dollars to play sports, you just kind of have to eat it that like us are going to make fun of you. But that Ridley piece really put me in a headspace of like, man, you can assume if somebody has the rhino skin to have passed up all the opportunities to quit playing tackle football that present themselves before you get to the NFL. I mean, I didn't particularly enjoy playing football. It was not fun. I mean, if we go out and play touch football on Thanksgiving, it's going to be fun. Once you put the pads on and much bigger guys start crushing you, it's not fun at all. So none of those, you know, whenever they say like, I mean, the famous thing with Jim Everett, you know, with this our tiny friend Jim Rome making fun of Jim Everett, like, you're like, do you know how tough this guy is? Do you know if he wasn't tough, how many times he could have quit tackle football? Do you know how many times he's been crushed by an outside linebacker at high speed? You think he's soft? Our 5'3" host of this radio show. Anyway, so I obviously fall into that trap and make a lot of fun of people. And all I just got to remember, just reserve it for spaghetti. Because I know what's going on with spaghetti. He's killing it. He's got a great lady. He's got a great gig. He's got a great haircut.
That's right. Punch up, as they say. That's
he's on
all.
Top of the world. And he's got a cannon.
You know what?
I'm talking about his arm. I'm talking about his arm, ladies. I'm talking about his arm.
Jada can't have it that good, but she's engaged to be married to Eddie Spaghetti. All right, Hench, I'm curious. You say be kind. And of course, that's the message, spoiler alert, of Everything Everywhere All at Once. And since your time is again, like we say, is probably running out here very quickly, your thoughts on the Academy Awards, any upset picks you'd like to make there? Also, I said to Sal and Marty today, and I said to Bald Brian earlier in the week, Hollywood's got to get over itself. Do they need to, just like the NFL owners, I don't care what anybody else is saying about collusion, apply whatever word you want. Clearly, the owners decided, we can't let Haslam get away with this. This does not now mean we're moving into an age of guaranteed money for these guys who are running into each other at full speed on purpose. Shame the devil if we would ever do that. Just as they kind of colluded, or whatever you would call that. Don't the voters for the Oscars, shouldn't they have gotten together this year and said, like, Tom Cruise isn't the best actor of all time, although underrated as an actor. Rain Man, he's great in that. Go watch Rain Man and tell me that you don't think Tom Cruise is a good actor. He's loathsome, but you kind of like him and he's kind of cool. Anyhow, they should give it to Top Gun. It's the most popular movie. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is a better movie ultimately. But don't we need to honor a movie that just about really did boost all of the movie making industry a little bit? How say you?
Well, a couple of thoughts. One thing is, like, I guess I would prefer a movie that was some things in some places at some times, as opposed to everything. I mean, all at once, everything.
Everything. So arrogant. You got it all.
I was like, I was exhausted. did virtually instantaneously. Looking at my wife, like, what am I missing? What am I missing? I know, I'm sure this really? Is a feminist cry from the heart. Can you translate this movie for me? I can't figure it out. I'm so bored. I can't. Oh, wait, here it comes again. Here it comes again. Oh, Lord. So I definitely preferred Maverick and agree that when those opportunities present themselves, like with The Color of Money, which is certainly not Paul Newman's greatest performance of his lifetime. But right. The Academy has an opportunity to basically give a Lifetime Achievement Award, but not a Lifetime Achievement Award for a performance, you know, they should certainly take that opportunity. Although we did learn in the lead up to the Oscars that kind of collusion is you really can. There are real rules about campaigning for certain events to come about. And so I don't, I mean, I've got that pile of screeners. We tried one the other night. I don't know. I'm good for about 17 minutes of TV, at the end of the night, which makes
that's me hard. Too. It's such a, I'm so, we really have reached that place where we're just old. Like you wait for like, okay, kids are fine. Kids are asleep. All right, let's get into it. 11 minutes later, Dave Sawnwood and Beth shouting at me to go upstairs. Just go upstairs. I can't hear the show with you.
I had to
like
watch
that.
Chris Rock in installments. I couldn't, you know, this guy's stomping around giving me all his energy and I'm falling asleep.
Okay. Right, I gotta go.
So I'm going to get my two best bets and then I'm going to roll.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. This is like, you know, when you're on a minute's limit, like I'm hitting it pitch count. Okay. So there's two great games, two awesome games on the schedule this weekend. And I'm going to, on the one, so Oilers Maple Leafs, I can finally figure out who Zach Hyman plays for and who Mitch Marner plays for because I effed that up a couple weeks ago. But they'll both be on.
I felt bad philosophically. Would you rather me? Because I pride myself on being one of these friends. I will tell you, you have broccoli in your teeth. I'll take the small hit for your benefit as you go out into society. Were you upset that I didn't want to slow your role?
As soon as I realized that I had conflated Zach Hyman with Mitch Marner and put Mitch Marner on the Oilers, you know, that'll ruin my whole week, as opposed to you guys just hitting an air horn and calling me an idiot a million times better.
I didn't want to bust your Hyman take, though.
I'd rather have spinach in my teeth than Mitch Marner on the Oilers. But anyway, they played last week or, you know, a little recently, and it was 5-2 and the over under was 7. I'm sure the over under will be 7 again. Just bet the over and sit back and enjoy. Right. This is like two Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl. This, you know, Nylander's having a great season. Like this is a, This should be 5-5 going into overtime, hopefully. So bet the over.
Love that. And by the way, Thursday night, by the time some people are listening, the game will already be completed. But Edmonton Oilers at Boston Bruins in the 1990 Stanley Cup final rematch is ain't bad stuff either. That's going to be a good one on Thursday night if you're catching
and
this.
Speaking of finals rematches, not quite, but you know, this weekend also features the last two NBA champions going toe to toe as the Bucks visit the Dubs. And I looked at this and I'm like, you know, the Bucks are going to the finals. And the Bucks are no joke. They are so deep. So when you have a player that dominant and then crazy depth around him, it presents a lot of problems. That said, this game is sort of like, hey, Warriors, are you making a run this year? Remember when the Rockets won back to back with Olajuwon, and the second of those seasons, it was like, we're finishing sixth, guys. We're not spending one ounce of energy beyond what we need to get into the dance and then win the tournament. And they did. And I'm like, looking at these Warriors, every time that guy's gotten dinged, I think they've given him two extra weeks, right? It's like, hey, no rush. We only need to be healthy once. We have to make the playoffs. That's going to happen. And then we have to be whole. And so I see this game hosting the Eastern Conference favorites as a statement game that the Warriors are not done and they're not satisfied. And I like the Dubs to win that game.
Good pick. I like it. I wish we had time for your Lamar Jackson thoughts. There's so many things in it. Danny Dimes, all of it. But you go, Hench. Great stuff. And say hi to Stone Street and everybody else over there on your show. And now a quick break.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8. Start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
I'll pick it up here, Eddie Spaghetti, and roll with my goat and goats of the week. And I think this leads naturally into what he said, Calvin Ridley and all of that. He's now down in Jacksonville. And that's one of the spots where Lamar Jackson at this point wouldn't make sense. Of course, spoiler alert and reminder back to my old what if. Hench is an onion who, when you peel, like he does still surprise you and sometimes makes you want to cry. It's funny because in 2018, Lamar Jackson was on the board for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were coming off of almost getting to the Super Bowl. They whipped the Steelers in Pittsburgh, then almost beat New England. And they were touching up the roster in the draft, and they took Taven Bryan instead of Lamar Jackson. Rewrite history starting at that point. If you put Lamar Jackson on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, it even fits nice. I never even thought about Lamar Jacksonville would have been perfect. Anyhow, the Lamar Jackson thing is curious to me on a number of levels. Our pal here, a Shecky Award winner at least once, right? Spaghetti, did he win a couple, Will Brinson? Either way, he wrote what I consider to be the definitive take on it this week. Look up his work. It's always great stuff. But my goat of the week is, the bad one is, the people carrying water for the billionaire owners. That this is like, it makes all the sense in the world to me. Lamar Jackson is an imperfect guy. He's been hurt. All of the things that you would ding Lamar Jackson with are things that I said 2 years ago. His best season was the one I predicted, his MVP season. They overtook the league for 1 year, and it amounted to very little once the playoffs arrived. I don't think his injuries are owed to him being a running quarterback, but given that he wants to run the ball and so much of his game is based around that, that's a concern. His injuries came in the pocket, but 2 straight years he's missed giant chunks of the last 2 seasons. I get the concern about that. I always talk about the distinctive type of offense you need to build around him. And people have floated those things as well. What this comes down to, I've heard some people float race as a reason. I don't buy that, but I don't want to be naive and write it off. But I don't think that's the situation here. Rather, like I told you last offseason, Eddie Spaghetti, and you, the listener, is that his leverage was last season. They couldn't start the season based on that specific type of offense that Lamar Jackson runs and they have built around him. If he said 2 weeks before the season, I'm not going to play without a new contract, they would have been jammed up and had to pay him. As it is with the Deshaun Watson deal and all that guaranteed money to this bad guy has allowed the owners, as I told you this would happen, that they would conspire against Jimmy Haslam. It's not against Lamar Jackson and his particular skill set. It's against the Haslams giving out that $230 million to an imperfect human being, thereby creating the perfect storm for them to win this and knock down the idea of future giant percentage of guaranteed money going to even a franchise level quarterback. Because Deshaun Watson is not going to rally support. If you blur your eyes about who got that money, though, of course, a quarterback or anyone else running into somebody at full speed on purpose should be getting guaranteed money more than anyone else. I get the argument that guys get hurt, and so you don't want to guarantee them money, but that really puts you on the side of bourgeoisie or proletariat. Either way, the idea that Lamar Jackson isn't a good gamble for a team like the Atlanta Falcons, would he be good for, like, I said to Eddie Spaghetti on extra points earlier today, Spaghetti, I said, you know, I wonder if the Giants, you know, 2 minutes after Danny Dimes signs that contract, if the Giants, if Joe Shane picked his head up and was like, oh, Lamar Jackson is on that restricted kind of tag. Wonder if we could have made that work. I don't think that works in some markets necessarily, but you're not paying attention if you don't think that the Atlanta Falcons or Carolina Panthers couldn't use that spike in public support, which they certainly would get if Lamar Jackson all of a sudden became the quarterback of the team. The stands, which now are half full, would instead be all the way full, at least for the first season. The idea that every owner who needs a quarterback would declare within an hour of each other, like, yep, not interested, and you don't think that's weird, then you're not paying attention, or for whatever reason, you're inclined to be team friendly. We've talked about that before, Spaghetti. It is a star league, and fans care about players more than they do the team brand. Research will indicate that, at least. But I think when push comes to shove, even if it's the star of your team, I think there's some incentive as a fan to stand by the team brand, because that's going to outlast the player. And so when a guy's like, I'm no showing on this team, I'm holding out, fans tend to side with the team because they want to see their team win at the end of the day. And so they do side with the brand, even though deep down we know it's a star league. Anyway, it's a fascinating subject, but like I say, for any number of reasons, primarily that it feels like so many people are pushing back at the idea that, like, yeah, the owners, it's just random. They just aren't interested in Lamar Jackson. Yeah, but they were in Derek Carr, and they were in Russell Wilson, and they were in Deshaun Watson. But Lamar Jackson, no, who knows why this is going on? How say you?
Yeah, I think this scenario, like, I'll try to answer the stuff you said, bullet point by bullet point. Like, yeah, the Falcons probably should be going after him. I think if they had to give, the two first-round picks, sure, go do it. I think you're far enough away from a Super Bowl. Who knows that if you get Lamar in there with Pitts and with London, all the young pieces they have, maybe you strike lightning in a bottle, plus the division's not tough, then you could say, oh, Eddie, why don't you want your Giants spending two first-round picks? Well, the difference is the Giants have, quote-unquote, a playoff roster. They won a playoff game. I think certain pieces they add could make them even more of a contender, whereas I don't want to give up those picks, especially when you can just keep the guy you already have there. I also understand the thought process of a fan of the team who is like, yeah, I want to get this guy, but there is a gamble with the injury. But I also understand I want every player to get paid. I want every player in the NFL, like you said, they're running full speed. It's a mini car crash every single game, every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whenever they play football. And I want them to make the most amount of money as possible to set up for their future, because it is a billion-dollar industry. But I do also understand these teams who are like throwing out these contracts with the salary cap that they could get screwed over. So I think everyone has a portion of truth in it. Overall, though, Lamar Jackson is one of the best football players in the country. I think he should be on a roster. And for, like, you know, Martin pointed this out too, like when the Commanders, the Falcons, the Dolphins, all teams involved saying we're not interested, it's like, well, what is your plan? Your plan is Sam Howell, or your plan is Desmond Ridder, because it's not really going to sell tickets, not going to make people feel confident about your team. So I think it's a huge error on their part for not going after him. But that's not to say that I don't see the reverse side of this for a guy that, you know, is injury prone, hasn't finished the seasons, doesn't have a playoff win. So I understand that. So I do understand where they're coming from those angles. But ultimately, I think in NFL, winning cures everything, and Lamar Jackson gives you that extra boost to win games.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. But in a vacuum, I would say, like, well, he's injury prone and he runs a certain kind of thing. And is it sustainable until he's, you know, 35 years old? And by the way, he's only 26 now. But is this long term sustainable? Like, I would buy that a lot more if any other reasonable quarterback who hits the market, people don't fall all over themselves to chase that guy. So it's so obvious to me that the owners, the other 31 owners, as I said last year, were mad about Jimmy Haslam's deal. It's not some specific thing about the way Lamar Jackson plays, as far as I'm concerned. It has to do with sticking it to Jimmy Haslam and letting him twist for having spent that contract, which, as we said at the time, was complete garbage. My other one, obviously, I know it's inappropriate to say this after 47 years in one place and the success and everything else for Jim Boeheim, but he's a creep. What do you want me to tell you? That's it. He gets goat of the week, nay, goat of the millennium. Maybe he's on the short list of my least favorite sports figures of all time. On the other side of that coin, you know what? I got to give myself a pat for goat of the week for telling you how this was going to shake out with Lamar Jackson a year ago. Now it's all coming true. Oh, no, Dave, you don't understand how these contracts work. We were told over and over again, they're going to tag him and that'll be it. No one will bat an eye about that. And now here we are in a real mess of a situation. And the other goat is, I got a shout is, by the way, Hench was talking about going to this thing with his kids. I'll tell you, in this world where you never know what's going to be in 3 days or 3 weeks from now, we went to see Oprah perform last night with her little brother and little sister. And I was taking pictures of it. And as I started to send them to old Mo Damashek, I realized how many pictures, the high percentage of pictures I have of my kids attending their siblings' events, whether it's a sporting event, a dance competition, or a ballet thing, or a musical that they're participating, whatever. So it fills my heart with song, as does the OG of such things, Mo Damashek. It's time for my perennial homage to her. 1985, I think it was, the Pitt Panthers made the tournament. They caught Louisiana Tech and Karl Malone in their first round matchup in March Madness back then. The problem was it was in the middle of the day, the school day. I mean, Mo Damashek picked me up, said Dave has an appointment, and she took me home and I watched the Pitt Panthers. Okay, they lost to Karl Malone, but that doesn't take away from the deed by the great Mo Damashek. She's the GOAT of the week for that one. Eddie Spaghetti, take it away.
Yeah, so I'll start with my good go. It's kind of tangential to the conversation we were having about Lamar Jackson, NFL, you know, contracts, quarterbacks, and I did say some of this on last episode of Extra Points, but my good go is Joe Shane for finding a way to not circumnavigate the cap. Obviously, everything's done by the rules, but to push this contract with Daniel Jones to only get paid $19 million against the cap this year to bring back Saquon Barkley. They're going to probably work out a deal with him. He was franchise tag. Same thing, Dexter Lawrence. You have your core. You have your pieces in place. I'm glad they're sticking with Daniel Jones, who's only done, he's improved. He's done everything that everyone's asked him to do, whether it's changing head coaches multiple times in his career, obviously multiple offensive coordinators, not having a receiving core, not even having Saquon Barkley for most of the seasons he's been there. The guy's been through it all. It's very easy to root for him, which is why I do. And that brings me to the bad go, which is
Wait. The only thing I have to point out about this is you keep saying $19 million. That's for this year, but it's going to end up being like $90 million when it's all said and done. The thing I think that works for the Giants is it's what we've kind of been looking at, like Geno Smith and Danny Dimes, and I forget who else we've listed in that category. Like, all right, nobody thinks they're they're not like top six QBs. They're not top half dozen, but you're better off with them than probably half of the rest of the quarterbacks available in the league. And it's an intermediate kind of contract. What the Giants can do is, it seems, is get out from under Dimes if it doesn't work out as soon as 2 years. That hit, though, of $50 million. See, that's what I don't understand, how that math works, how that money would affect the cap in 24, but you know what? I don't like.
Well, it's
doing
a lot
that,
of bonuses. So it's a lot of bonuses, and it's a lot of like incentive based stuff. And I obviously how they could work around the cap. Like people like to bring up the cap, and again, this kind of goes into my bad goat. But like they love to cite the money and this and then they worry about it. And you always bring this up. I'm not here to do math. But like they obviously have a plan in place for if the number does jump from the 19 million, they know how to obviously work around contracts, restructure stuff. So the point is this year for the Giants in the free agency and obviously going forward with the draft, 26 overall pick, like they're in a good spot to get back into the playoffs and what I think is a very wide open NFC. I think it, most would agree with that.
Why, they can't ever say, I, you know, people say like, well, that's against the rules, but we've seen how the NFL. Right. The NFL, the way the NFL operates, by the way, as my suggestion is, you know, I think that, and there's some legitimate journalism that kind of supports the idea that like Tom Brady was making out on the side because Bob Kraft allowed TB12 to work and steer teammates and everything else through there. So he was making out on the money he wanted, even if it wasn't impacting the cap like that. Then people say like, oh, it's against the rule. The mayors couldn't just go like, hey, hey, Dimes, here's an extra $20 million. Just don't tell anybody. Here it is in a briefcase. Just shh. We never speak of this again. And people say, oh, they wouldn't get caught. The NFL doesn't catch anything. They don't catch anything unless they want to. I have witnessed all the scandals afoot right now in the NFL. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, but it just adds to my point and like how I think it's like only his contract's only like 17.7 against the cap, percent against the cap, which is great. It's like below a 20% number. Like and so my bad goat of the week are people who react to this and get upset. Like just people on Twitter who are like, you know, oh, why isn't he getting, he's getting paid $40 million, $45 million. Like when the rumors are coming out and they wanted to get paid a certain amount, like does that $5 million a year really affect you guy right with a Twitter account who does not own the team and could shell out these contracts? That bothers me. The people coming out of the woodwork, these PFF or fantasy people who say these things and there's better options, Lamar Jackson and Jimmy G, will know, because find me a Giants beat writer, a reporter who's said once about another quarterback not named Daniel Jones being a part of this team. They weren't drafting guy 26. And then you have Bear safety, what's his name? Jaquan Brisker. Forget his name, obviously, because the guy's not a known player. He comes out on Twitter and says Daniel Jones is trash. I mean, there's footage of him in that game. Not only Daniel Jones running him over, Daniel Jones blocking him and him falling down on a pass play that Daniel Jones threw a touchdown pass in the win over the Bears. When you get beat that badly in multiple facets where people catch you on video and in screenshots and tweet at you, you should just delete your tweet and get rid of it. Delete your Twitter account overall, because you're just made a fool of yourself. And it kind of ties in with this Lamar Jackson scenario where you have guys like Ryan Clark tweeting like, I can't believe we're in a world where Lamar Jackson MVP is getting paid more. It's like, he's not. Lamar Jackson is going to get paid more than Daniel Jones. This is just the way the contract worked out. Once Lamar Jackson, number one, also is representing himself. Like he doesn't have the, you know, the agency that Daniel Jones has that came in and pushed for a close to a $40 million contract. Even like I said, it come down to 19 million. Point is, it's just absurd for people to get this upset over not their financials and have all these takes. And a guy that on the stretch run that he had in the whole month of December into the playoffs, beating the Vikings and looking good and go like saying this is a guy that's finally figured it out. Obviously, the help of Brian Daboll with still zero weapons outside of Saquon behind him. Instead of people just giving the credit, and this is kind of what Hench was saying too about people just being nicer to everyone else, it's just so bizarre that now when the numbers come out, it's like this greedy, jealous aspect going like, well, this guy with 15 touchdown passes can't be getting paid $40 million. It doesn't affect your life. And you're all losers. And I love Daniel Jones. And I'm happy where we are. That's it. So piss off, everyone.
Whoa, my goodness. Well, that wasn't kind right at the end there. You said you wanted everybody to be nicer to everybody, and then you told everybody to piss off. I don't know.
Because their guy's going to make, Lamar's going to make his money. Jimmy G, when he finds a new team, he'll make his money. Like everyone, that's my goal as NFL players, to make money, because it is a high contact, it's a collision sport. Like, so make your money. Like, why are we like poo-pooing guys for getting their contracts? We should be celebrating.
Everybody, right. Everybody, well, because it's what I talk about. It's the vapid cynicism largely owed to social media. And everybody more than ever, and this isn't a new thing for the human condition, but it's been accelerated by social media. Everybody has to be relevant. Everybody has to know the... You don't fully get it, Dave. I get a lot of explanations. I get mansplained a lot of things on Twitter to me by people who listen to the show and or reading Twitter feeds. Thank you for your explanation. I might be playing fast and loose some of the time and being hyperbolic for fun's sake and everything else, but this fan sobriety is the weirdest thing. It goes back to like in the NBA Finals. Who did the Bucks catch once when it was almost going to be the, I don't remember how it went down, but people were lamenting like, this is bad for the NBA. The ratings are not going to be good for the, like, what do you care what the ratings are? This doesn't have anything to do with your life. What team are you rooting for is your level of interest. I love how everybody has to feel like they're a capologist now. You don't know what's going on any more than anyone else does. Believe me, we'll lean into Brad Spielberger and Matt Verderam and those guys who spend their lives focusing on the maneuvering around the cap. I'm with you. I think people involve themselves in stuff pretentiously that they're welcome to do whatever they want. Doesn't mean that they're gonna, that, as I always say, monkeys can be taught to read a book, but can they understand the book? I'm sorry, I don't mean to call anybody listening right now a monkey. I'm just saying there are certain experts on certain things and they probably know better than you. Anyhow, all right, Eddie Spaghetti, you know what? I think we've said it all here, and we did it in a fairly tight fashion. We always shoot for 45 minutes. Why don't we let ourselves off the hook here a little early and go watch some college basketball? Like I said, I got to watch my Pitt Panthers and Duke, and no spoiler alerts, and I can't see your face, and I would know what the score is if I could see your eyes right now, Spaghetti, because that's what I can do. I'm an empath. I read people. And I would know what the score is by your face, but I can't see it. So it doesn't matter to me right now. What I will say to give you one bet going into this weekend, supported by the aforementioned great Tate Frazier. You know who my pick is right now before I know anything about the brackets or anything else? The Arizona Wildcats plus 1,000 is going to be my pick there. It's a nice, the juice is owed to them being so far behind UCLA in the Pac-12 standings. But when they get out there at large against the other teams that make the tournament, I think you're going to see that this is as complete a team as there is. They can beat you in a number of different ways. I like the Arizona Wildcats at plus 1,000. If you're listening to this on Sunday night or Monday morning and looking for a place to sprinkle a little something, I say go with the Cats. Spaghetti, any best bet you want to throw out?
There's a couple of easy ones in the NHL. I'll zig when everyone else zags. Everyone's watching college basketball, so I'll give.
Wait! You're going to give NHL bets? You said you said that the NHL regular season doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter to them, why? No, can you
it doesn't
bet
matter
on?
In the sense that like one loss is not going to shake me to my core and say the season's over. It's that's a very prisoner of the moment reactionary take. I'm not that way. I'm a macro view, not a micro view. But tomorrow, there's some kind of mismatches here. The Blackhawks, not a very good team. Obviously, they sold some parts. They're playing the Panthers. They're on the road. Panthers are a better team there. If you want to take the Panthers on that, even laying the puck, the goal and a half there, I would do that on the puck line. And then the same kind of deal, although Trevor Zegras' goal the other night was absolutely beautiful. He's one of the best goal scorers in the country.
He really is. And by the way, I wanted to say about that, if you haven't seen it, the trick is to watch it at full speed. The slow-mo is remarkable, but how quickly he does that is crazy. How quickly he gets the puck back behind his left skate, gets his stick through his legs and shoot, and then reverse postage stamps it. It's wild.
And yeah, he's a guy that I've been lucky to see a few times play in person. Obviously, Anaheim's not too far from us here in LA. It's a weird, he's not one of, I don't know, say this nicely, he's not one of the best players in the NHL, but he's one of the most electrifying players in the NHL. So whenever he has the puck, you're always looking at him to do something. That's kind of the feel you get when you see him live. But his Ducks, again, not very good. They are traveling north. They're going to Calgary. They're playing Calgary in the Saddle Dome. And I would take the Flames again, laying the puck, the puck line, the goal and a half there. So I do like the Panthers. And I like the Flames and what should be pretty easy home matchups for those two teams.
Yeah, I think that's a good, pretty decent. Sal rightly discourages the parlays. Those are fun bets. They're not necessarily going to make you rich doing them. But I do think if you parlay a couple of NHL teams a night with the teams that need to win games, when you see them playing teams that are lost at sea right now, the Blackhawks, the Blue Jackets, the Ducks, and so on. If they're playing a team, I'm not talking about like the Bruins even necessarily, who are safely in, the teams that are battling it out in the bottom rungs there to get into the mix, those are pretty good bets. I think you can parlay, like I say, a couple of teams every night doing it that way. So I like where your head's at there. And I hope you like what you see this weekend in the conference tournaments. We'll come out clean on the other side, start fresh for you early next week and set the table for March Madness. Of course, the playoffs draw ever closer in the NBA and NHL. Keep an eye on those. And NFL free agency kicks off, Eddie Spaghetti. I can't wait. It keeps on. We always get down in the dumps when the Super Bowl ends and we think, what are we going to do? You know what? It's really now. It's 3 days. It might even be 3 hours someday in July where nothing happens. Otherwise, the sports calendar is always rolling on. So we'll be here for you. Make sure in the meantime, you're checking out all the great content on the Extra Points Network. And like I say, we'll be back over the weekend. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Federico.